Hello and welcome to another episode of the Copcast podcast. Dave Dunning, we've got Chief, we've got Beryl. Lads, we're fucked, aren't we? Convince me otherwise. It's been, you know, a lesson in how to throw away a season in like 8 days. And Chief, it's been, you know, the same old story with a new twist. It's we concede early silly goals, and instead of coming back and burying chances and looking like everybody telling us that the old Liverpool will score their way, if they're going to win it, they'll score their way to the title with these five players, and not one of them seemed like they could put the ball in the net. Not one of them seemed like they could even put the ball between the posts, never mind actually in the net. And it's been a recurrent theme. For most of the season, I would say, depending on which player you looked at. But it looks like they've all somehow simultaneously became infected with a really bad case of the Darwins.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not... it's obviously, it's not been a great week, like, and we've done a bit of an Arsenal in days gone by where we're going lovely in all competitions, and then we have a mad 8 days in the spring and everything falls apart. And yeah, you can look at the strikers and, you know, a lot's been made of them, and obviously Sky's put a lot of sort of onus on them in recent times, not scoring chances, and it is a factor. There's no doubt goals change games, and if you stick the ball in the net when you get the good chances, you know, you're two or three ahead before you have to even start worrying about anything else. And it is frustrating. And we've also, at the same time, managed to contrive to somehow present goals to the opposition within the first 10 minutes of games. Sometimes within the first seconds of games, and only miraculous saves and miraculous misses have stopped us from going behind in the first couple of minutes in a couple of games recently. Sheffield United being a case in point, although we can see there anyway in that game. So the wheels have kind of fallen off on all sides, both ends of the car at the same time, which is a bit of a balls, really. Yeah, I think we can go on in a bit and sort of look at maybe reasons why and sort of all project our own feelings onto the matter. But it does seem like something's burst the bubble and the momentum has well and truly stopped, crashed. And it's heading the other direction at the moment. So, you know, we are not completely dead yet in the league. But the question is, can we pick ourselves up? We've been handed a reprieve, certainly by one of our rivals, by Arsenal's result against Villa, which followed shortly after our awful result against Crystal Palace.
Which actually made it all the more frustrating.
In a way, yes, and in a way, no. I don't know if a game like that and a result like that could be any more frustrating. I mean, as long-time Liverpool fans, we've seen that game so many times at so many different stages, and it's never been good. It's never gotten less frustrating or more frustrating. It's always just been about as frustrating as it can get. So, you know, if we can pick ourselves up and somehow, you know, breathe in the air and thank the cosmos for our continued life and breath in this title race and go and win the next six, then you never know. But we kind of look done, and I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about why in a bit.
Yeah, Beryl, I think I said to you in the group on Sunday that performance in the last kind of few weeks have been all very Arsenal. But in actual fact, It's 3 wins in 8 games. It's no clean sheet at home in 10 matches. I think it's no clean sheet at home, or no clean sheet at all in like 15 games or something, something wild. We conspire to lose at Old Trafford twice in one game and hand them a point in another and almost hand them all three. And it, like I said, it's you can't go through a run of 3 wins in 8 games and really expect to win anything, never mind the league title. So, you know, to say it's kind of unraveled in a week, I think, to me, taking a step back and looking at it, this feels like it's probably been in the post.
Yeah, you know, if you look at from hindsight, and you know, it's the only way you can look at it, of course, but it might look that way. But you could also say, you know, we have been shit for a while, and we're still within touching distance. It's only 2 points, and 2 points behind Manchester City in this stage of the league might be, you know, might look like an enormous distance, a chasm or whatever, a chasm, whatever you. How you pronounce it, but at the same time, it is only 2 points, and if they draw once, and you know, they are humans after all, and maybe some of the referees may sometimes be humans, although I have my doubts sometimes, but and they might end up getting a red card or whatever, you know, something might happen and they might drop points and then we could be still in touching distance. So yeah, I felt distraught, of course, and strangely I felt more distraught when we drew against Man United. That felt more like a momentous moment than this loss, because it was, you know, in a way it was almost comical, you know, the chances that we were missing. I got up at least 3 times to cheer for a goal and then had to wonder how it did not go in. We didn't play well, but we still could have easily won that game. But yeah, I think it was more the way we conceded, I thought was I said, you know, I was watching the game with a couple of people and I said, you know, some 5-6 seconds before they scored, that they would score from this position because it was too easy for them. So again, we have been shit for a while now. And there are reasons for it. I think it has to do with, you know, all the changes that we had to make, but also with people and the changes that we couldn't make and people being overplayed. But still, you know, that all being said, we have been shit. And if this is, I think because of the reprieve that Arsenal gave us, you could see it as. Yeah, if we would have won and they would have lost, then we would have been on top. But I don't think they maybe even don't lose if we don't lose. I think all of these things are connected to each other in ways that that we can't really untangle. But I would say we are still in touching distance. We still have a chance. If this is a moment that we can use and say, okay, this is the moment that we need to turn things around. You know, have the old team meeting or you know, whatever else you could do to have everyone's heads reset and say, okay, we are still in this, and maybe even, you know, still in the European Cup tie. Let's get that one done first and then move on. I'm not ready to give up hope. I think we still have a chance. A lot smaller, but it's still there.
Yeah, let's see if we have a chance, right? But things need to seriously change, and they need to change quickly. And look, let's just get into the conversion rate nonsense. Look, Darwin needs to essentially turn that corner again. It looked like he potentially turned a corner, maybe, you know, 18 months into his Liverpool career, but it almost now starts to look like that's a bit of a purple patch. It's a huge number of big opportunities missed this season. His conversion rate of big chances is the worst across the top five leagues in Europe. And it's not just him, let's be honest. Liverpool's conversion rate since the start of March is 6%. And that is worsened only by Everton. It's not shockingly, because they are abject at most things, but most of all putting the ball in the net. And Brighton, who we all know are having a pretty torrid time at the minute and have serious injury issues and have probably just really struggled to adapt to, you know, the two games a week with the European football that they've had to endure. So, again, like, what do we do with this? Because we play such a risk-reward game that ultimately we have to do two things. We have to accept as a team and as a fan base that we will concede goals. But what we have to do to offset that is put away the chances that we create and make sure we create chances from the opportunities that we have to create chances. And neither of those things have been happening for a number of weeks now.
Well, let's not forget we've had mad injuries as well, and now we're sort of getting players back. But again, I
know you're saying that, but we have also now started. It's absurd, actually, and I was thinking about this earlier on. The minute we start to get players back is when the shit really does hit the fan.
And that's because you're trying to reintegrate players who you want back in the first team as quickly as possible, but who have had long or lengthy, at least, injury layoffs. So they're not up to match fitness. They're not up to full speed. And you're trying to, you know, get minutes into their legs so that you can use them in the run-in. But it's backfired, particularly against Atalanta, for example, where I think we've got three players on the pitch who start coming back from lengthy layoffs. And all of them are blowing early on, you know what I mean? So you're essentially playing with eight and seven outfield players by the time, you know, you factor in the Kelleher's fine. So you're on a bit of a hiding to nothing there, in the sense that you it's sort of a bit of lose-lose. If you can't keep them on the bench or keep them out, because you need to use them and get them fit. But at the same time, by bringing them in and certainly trying to get the minutes in any way en masse, you're running the risk of being second best, and quite clearly second best. So it's a tough one to manage, really. And obviously, Klopp's taken a chance on it against Atalanta, and it's backfired. We are not able to sort of pick our game up at all. And we were saying pre-pod, if Salah just times his run just that bit better, we are 2-1 down with 11 minutes to go, and you probably fancy us to nick another one. And again, you're sort of, in a way, you can say you're papering over cracks, but in a way, that's what goals do. So if you're complaining about not taking your chances when you get them, then you're complaining about the inability to paper over cracks, in a sense. So it's one of them. And the worrying thing is that it's as you said, it's sort of, and as Birol rightly said as well, with the hindsight thing, you can look at it either way. Either you can say, yeah, it's been brewing for a while, or you can say that it just looks like that because actually we were doing fine until we weren't. And in fact, doing much better than any of us had really anticipated until all of a sudden we weren't. So it's the question is, can they arrest the slide? Because for me, it might not entirely be a mentality thing in the sense that maybe it is sort of tiredness, and there is a little bit of players coming back and readjusting and trying to get up to full speed, as I talked about earlier. But ultimately, we know they're eminently capable of winning the next six games. They've beaten the very same opposition already this season in every case except for Spurs, and we all know about that game. So it is there for them. The question is, can they click in the gear in time, and will it be enough? So we'll have to wait and see, because it's so funny with us, and it has been with this club team. It's a little bit like flicking a switch, and one way we're absolutely electric, and or at least we find that we will grind you down and we will win, and the other switch is like the other side of the switch is like we are meek and we are second best, and it's easy to play around us, and it's easy to create chances against us, and it's easy to convert those chances. And ultimately, we've seen patches where we just are blunt and blunted, and somehow manage to gift goals to the opposition. We lost six home games. What was it, 1-0 or something in the COVID season? Somehow, from a position where we were top of the league going into that first defeat, and yeah, injuries and whatever, but we are like that somehow. So can we switch? Can we flip that switch back? I don't know.
Yeah, Beryl, it's an interesting one. People can say that we're mentally fragile, and I kind of agree with Chief. It can go both ways, but I don't think this has happened because we are mentally fragile. I think in terms of success breeds confidence. When things start to go against you, it can go as quickly the other way, and I think we've tried to arrest this slide for a number of weeks now, but a team to say we're mentally fragile, I think is harsh. I think a team that continues to put themselves in a position where they have to show so much resilience is bound to take its toll after a while. It's most points from losing positions this season from any other side. We continually performed miracles to get out of ridiculous situations. Again, it's more goals, I think, in the last 15 minutes than any other team in the Premier League this season as well. We do things the hard way, essentially. And when you continue to do things the hard way, week after week after week, sometimes, in fact, not sometimes, every single team, individual, group, etc., will come to a point where they're unable to do that anymore because there's basically nothing left in the tank.
But just one second before you go, Beryl, but why put ourselves in that position? And if you were a person, your therapist, your psychologist, that would be the first question they would probably ask you. Why do you keep putting yourself in that position?
No, I agree. And again, it's the... do you know what? I'll come back to you on this point, okay?
No worries.
Okay. Beryl.
I think that the question is pertinent, and it was going to be the point that I would start, and I was also going to refer to, not to both of you, but make an analogy with healthcare, especially mental healthcare professionals, who can suffer from mental or emotional fatigue. So if you have to show empathy continually, then it is bound to drain you. So going back to the football pitch, I agree. We came into positions that we had to dig deep. And, you know, sometimes it would be nice to have just to have an easy win, right? And we I can't remember the last easy win. And this has, so coming back to the question, the Chief just posited there. So why bring yourself in the position that, you know, that I think that's the key problem. Why are we conceding? And in all of these games, you could say that we always start, you know, the first few minutes, we seem to be not awake yet. And sometimes we even give up a chance. Then we stabilize and start to dominate the game, and we get some early chances, and those early chances are key for me. You know, against Atalanta, there's a glorious through ball, I think, by Gakpo on Darwin, and you know, we were saying, why does he always blam it, and then he started to do some other things, and he had this glorious chip. I forgot against who, but you know, never mind. And now he tries a chip again, but it goes, I think, you know, like 5-6 meters past the goal. It's you know, it's a very bad finish. And I think that's a very important point. If you score that goal, things settle down for us, and things get more stressed for Atalanta in that position. They need to reassess their position. Do they continue to the way they started? And we keep pushing, and etc. But now we don't score, and then there comes a period, and we gradually give up control. I think we see this trend in lots of games. We gradually give up a little bit of control, and probably because not everyone is doing what they are supposed to do. Because again, if we look at the goals that we can see, they come from passes played into you know, behind our backs. And from crosses, and yeah, this has been one of the areas that teams target against us. But we were prepared against it. This was one of the risks that we were taking. But you can only defend those situations if you stay very narrow. You have to be compact, as they call it. But we never were. We were very wide in both these games, and I think this has to do with not doing the inverting thing at one, you know, that made us more solid, and what was the starting point of you know, us being more successful starting from last season. If you look at Bradley's position, and I'm not saying criticizing him, I'm not saying he's done anything wrong, but if you look at his positions against Crystal Palace, he was continually wide, and that's probably not something he made up himself and he thought of himself, but that's probably what he was asked to do, and which, you know, means that Endo needs to cover a lot more ground, because the wing back or the right back isn't tucking in into midfield. So, you know, all of these things have I think we have been shit for a while now, and we were probably winning games because of, you know, the willpower and all the sheer mental power. But you can't keep doing that. You have to make things easy for yourself, and we are you know, while being shit, we were still very dominant, you know, twice against Manchester United. Of course, against Sheffield United, of course, against Crystal Palace. But, you know, we didn't have enough to show for. And I think, you know, some of the things that needs to change is not only with the players, but also with how the team is being managed and the tactics we are employing or deploying. So, yeah, I think things need to start there. We need to play better, not concede, and take our chances. It's, you know, it's really easy if you think of it.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with you. And Chief Burrow is right. It's a tactical choice that we make to, you know, be more open with the creating the opportunity of a high expected goal ratio and expecting the guys to stick the ball in the net. But Burrell's absolutely right. I can't remember the last time we had an easy win. Every single game is a pure stress fest. And I think the thing for me is, we've seen two styles of football that have brought us success. We've seen like unbelievable counter-attacking sides that, and if you remember, I think one of the key characteristics of Klopp's kind of first really great Liverpool side was that we could beat a team in like 10 or 15 minutes, 20 minutes. We could literally just, as Arteta says, you know, put you in the tumble dryer and all of a sudden, you know, you're half an hour into the game and you're 3-0 down and it's game over. And we just constantly hit you in the break from there and maybe get another few. We don't do that anymore. We don't put teams to bed. We create situations where we make things difficult for ourselves by A, conceding stupid goals and, you know, more often not early goals, and B, not killing teams off when we have opportunities to kill teams off, not putting ourselves two goals in front, not putting ourselves three goals in front. And yes, it's a tactical choice, but it's the same as anything in this sport. It's fine margins, but it's a very fine margin to expect a side to do that, you know, every week. Yes, you can recover from losing positions every now and again when you have to, but there needs to come a point where you're winning games and winning games comfortably. And dare I say it, the way Arsenal were doing for a number of weeks there, just going and you know, sticking two or three in the first 10 minutes and the game's basically dead. City do it against, you know, I think there's a prime example. Manchester City beat Luton 5-1 in their last two games. Arsenal have them killed off after 20 minutes, I think, a few weeks ago. We just about take a point off them at their place and then make it one of the most ridiculous games of the season at Anfield to just about get away with 3 points. It looks comfortable in the end, but it isn't comfortable at all. And that's kind of why we're in the position that we're in, because you just can't keep that up.
No. And I don't know. That's sort of where I think that, you know, there is a little bit perhaps of a mental issue there, and that they're not, and it doesn't, you know, you're talking about the same thing. I'm not saying that there are deep psychological problems or anything. I'm just saying that they're quite a young side. They've got some experience of sort of title winners through the side, but in terms of, you know, with the club, but not as many as in previous years now. And sometimes they don't appear to be fully focused and fully in games. There have been several games this season, and I'm sure everyone who's watched every game can think of them pretty much immediately, where you just know we're not on our game, and you just know it's not quite going to be our day. You know, they've been few and far between. We've only lost, that's the third game. That's the third game we've lost this season, and we include the Tottenham game in that, which for most people's money would not have been a defeat if the officials had done their jobs correctly. So it's not like it's a mad issue. But you're right that we've always been profligate. Even in seasons that we've won things, we've been profligate, and I've it's always been a bit of a gripe. My favourite version of us was actually when we were destroying teams, when we were winning 5-2 in Rome, or against Roma, sorry, when we were destroying City in the Champions League, or capable of going to their place and sticking four past them or whatever. But we evolved from that and we became a really, really good defensive side. And what you're talking about now with Arsenal is what almost what we were without the sort of extra pizzazz, I suppose. But what we were in our title winning season, essentially, we didn't concede goals. I think we ended up with not the best goals against record ever, but I think a lot of the goals we conceded were actually after we won the league and after sort of coming back after COVID and stuff and that sort of fucked up little 10-game spell or whatever at the end of the season. But they are so gentle. Of course, they've lost now against Villa, but they're generally very, very, very solid. And they're not particularly exciting, but at the same time, in fact, they're quite a grind. And when you watch them against City, the pair of them just bore you to death. But when they're playing against sort of slightly lesser sides or whatever, they've got very good players and they're very neat and tidy and they, you know, they're very, very good, but they're not exactly exhilarating to watch. But they're incredibly solid. And one thing we have not been this season is solid, particularly in the second half of the season. And that's mostly been down to the fact that our personnel have changed so often. I mean, we've had our second string goalkeeper in for the last however many games, more than 10, I would say, league games. We've had changes in the back four on a regular basis. Kanate's been out. We've had Kwanza in, who's a kid in his first real season of senior football. We've had Joe Gomez being a utility man. Trent's been out, so we've had another youngster in his first real breakthrough season. So, I mean, there are reasons why we have been leaky and shaky and slightly uncoordinated at the back. Over the last 10 or 12 games, but we have been. And when you're conceding regularly, it sort of chips away at the striker's confidence as well over time, in that you're scoring the goals, but you're not winning games. We scored 3 against United in the cup, didn't win. You know, we scored 2 against them at Old Trafford, didn't win, because we've conceded 2 fucking ridiculous goals. Particularly the first one, you know. So when you're sticking the ball in the net and you're not getting the results, it begins to chip away. And when you're a little bit profligate anyway, then it's just culminated in this. So, like I said, I think it's more of a mental thing, and hopefully we can get that sorted out before the next league game.
Yeah, Beryl, Chiefs obviously in the strikers' union there. No surprises.
I mean, what else can you do? You've got whatever it is, 300 million worth of talent there or more. You're absolutely the envy of pretty much every club in the world. So you can't turn around and say, well, the strikers are shit. There's got to be something else going on there as well. You know what I mean? It's got to be a little bit more than suddenly they've all just turned shit.
Listen, yeah, there's more than that. There's more than that. But, you know, look, I just think that the only one, you know, Jota, everybody knows my thoughts on Jota, who's ever spoken to me about Liverpool. He's a guy that I can properly trust to stick the ball in the net. Salah, more often than not, taps one in or scores just a really good goal. The kind of semi-decent chances, they're not his forte. The other three, for varying different reasons, just, I don't think, have really been at it all season, apart from Darwin having a purple patch. But again, it's still only 10 or 11 league goals. He'll probably finish on 12 or 13. The way he's been going recently, it probably will just stay as 11. And again, I looked back at Manchester United's league title win in 2012-2013, and they finished with 89 points. They conceded 43 goals, which is probably more than we're going to concede this season. But what they had was an absolutely lethal centre forward who could score goals out of nothing, who could bury the big chances, who could perform in the big moments, who would invariably stick the ball in the net when he was supposed to stick the ball in the net. It's kind of that old adage about goalkeepers. Make the saves that you're supposed to make, and then if you pull a worldie out every now and again, then even better. And that's not what we have at the moment. And I think that is ultimately where our downfall lies.
Yeah, it would undoubtedly be easier if you know, the chances that we invariably get, you know, are converted at a higher rate than they are now. It's, and again, I think. So if we talk about mental state, etc., we talk about it as if it's something that's the same during a match, you know, or let alone a season or something. And of course it isn't. I think the way we start games isn't very impressive, you know, mentally. I think. You know, when we start well, we think, okay, if we keep doing this, then we will score. And then we concede, and then we think, okay, now we have to try a little harder, but we will get it done and ramp up the pressure. And I think, you know, our main striker, Darwin Núñez, doesn't cope well with that. If you look at his best performances in this season, I think it's when he is under less pressure, and I would make an exception for, you know, the Nottingham Forest game. So, you know, he scores in the last seconds of that game, a winner. Against Newcastle United, he comes on late and he scores two brilliant goals. But more often than not, then if he's in a position that he can think more than 1 second about, yes, I need to score this, I'm going to score this, I know how I'm going to score this, then he probably doesn't score. And he isn't the lethal striker. He isn't the you know, we all know the you know, I don't want to say Harry Kane, but you know, all of the other historical figures that were, you know, able to do that, and they are not. It's not like, you know, you find them on every corner, or you can easily transfer them, but they are there, and we don't have one at this moment. You know, Salah has scored lots and lots of goals, but you know, and he should have scored against Crystal Palace, but I was disappointed in his performance in general, because he lost a lot of balls because he didn't want to put his foot in. He was, you know, absolutely intimidated by Tariq Mitchell is probably the name. And he was, you know, not being a threat without scoring. And he also didn't score. So, yeah. And if you don't do that, then you don't have enough worth for your team, I would say. So besides scoring, which is absolutely the most important part of the game, but you need to contribute in other ways as well. And we have said about Darwin Núñez that he contributes in other ways. I haven't seen that contribution in the last few games as well. Yeah, you know, chaos and all. But yeah, we're not winning games. So it doesn't work. So I would say it's time to change things up, to try something else, and Jota would be the obvious answer. But yeah, maybe Jota and Gakpo, or you know, try Dens, and you know, one thing about Jota is that he makes things happen. So he is everywhere, and he does things, and yeah, I think things need to change. We can't keep continue doing what we have done for the last 7-8 games and expect that things will change.
Yeah, well, certainly in the next 7-8 games, Chief, things are going to change, because you know, it's going to be the most kind of the biggest upheaval in FSG's tenure in this transition from Klopp to whoever it may be. But in the meantime, you know, we've got Thursday night coming up. We're 3-0 down. We don't keep clean sheets. And you'd probably say that we have to go there and score at least four to kind of give ourselves even a chance in the tie. And Beryl is right, something has to change. And I think in terms of defensively, yes, there has been individual errors that have caused goals. But ultimately, like I say, I think that's a structural decision that the manager and the coaching staff have made. I think what needs to be addressed and what can be more easily addressed is how significantly we're underperforming our XG. If we decide to potentially, God forbid, start overperforming our XG, then yeah, we absolutely have a chance. But we need to score the goals at the right times, in the right order. And that's, for me, something that we haven't been doing. Like, just score two goals back-to-back without the opposition scoring. That would be great for a start.
Absolutely. And if we do that on Thursday night, then we've every chance of going through in that tie. So let's see. It looks, you know, Atalanta will be thinking that, you know, nice professional performance and the job's done, basically. And maybe it is. It depends which Liverpool turns up, whether it's the Liverpool that was sitting top of the league and has probably been top of the league for, you know, probably the longest this season, or certainly for large parts of the season. Or are they the Liverpool that sort of turned in the performances in the last week or so, or the last 3 weeks, shall we say? And it'll just depend on that. And you can't really say much more, because on paper we're much, much better. We're certainly capable of literally going to that stadium and producing enough to win the game, win the tie, as things stand. The last time we were there, I think we beat them 5-0. Having said that, you know, their manager's now played us twice since then and beaten us without conceding on both occasions. So has he got the measure of Klopp? Maybe. Maybe that's the case. Some managers do.
It looked like, see, I think we spoke about this earlier on.
Yeah. So if that is the case, then there's probably not much we can do, or he can do particularly. So we'll see how it goes. But if we score two goals back to back without the opposition scoring, you know, we'll be sitting there at 2-0. And if it's 2-0 Liverpool with 15-20 minutes to go, you know, I'd shake your hand for that now. So let's just see how it goes. We need to score maybe four, as you said, and our strikers are not firing. They're underperforming, as everyone's talking about, although figures vary, because I was listening to something the other day that put us at slightly overperforming our expected goals this season. Granted, that was before the Palace game.
Yeah, I think that's this season, certainly, right? But I think, let's be honest, right? For me, the reason that number looks the way it does is because we have scored an inordinate amount of fucking worldies this season. That's just the way it's been. Maybe. Like, we beat Fulham with four goals from outside the box. It's absurd. So, yeah, I know what you're saying. And again, for me, that's another unsustainable metric which has come back to haunt us at the end. It's the big clear-cut chances.
Totally. And if we're going to remedy, or if we're going to get where we want to be this season, that has to get remedied. So there's no better situation to be in than having to score four goals. So hopefully they can begin to start
you know, putting the chances away, and we'll see where it goes. Chances are we're probably out. People are still not that bothered because the big one is still the league. And as we've sort of been alluding to this whole podcast, that one is not quite over, I don't think. So do we pick ourselves up and sprint for the line, or do we just stay sort of crumbled in a heap on the floor and grab, you know, slowly crawl? We'll see.
Yeah, I think Beryl, for me, things sort of start to unravel with the United FA Cup game, and it's all a bit of a tightrope walk from that point on. We have a situation now where I personally feel like it's very much all or nothing if we have any chance. And I get what you're saying. Is it like, okay, let's just focus on the league? But I feel like this team with this manager is so momentum driven that we need to find some momentum from somewhere. And I think we need an adrenaline shot at this point in time. And like, there would be no better adrenaline shot than getting ourselves through to the semi-final of the Europa League after a first leg the way the first leg ended up. It's a big ask, but I feel like it's potentially an opportunity, and I'm totally, totally trying to talk myself into it.
Yeah, man, I'm already there. So yeah, I okay. Yeah, 3-0 is a bit of a head start for Atalanta. But also, you know, they have beaten us twice at Anfield. We have played them once again in their stadium. Just alluded to me. But so yeah, let's make it two and two for us too. And why not? Let's demoralize them. I think the 3-0 was a bit of a gut punch in that respect. But it is, you know, nobody would put it beyond us because we have done shit like that before. And this would be a really good time to do it again. And I really wouldn't put it beyond us because if we start dominantly and we score early, and you know, they might get the jitters, and jitters might mean they concede a penalty or a red card. And so yeah, and then everything is wide open again. So I think I would not say yeah we've lost this tie effectively, so let's focus on Fulham. I wouldn't say that. No, just try to win every game we get in front of us, and now try to beat Atalanta and get this tie. I really still do think we can do this. We've made it really, really difficult for ourselves, but you know that you know this is us. Apparently, we need to do things the difficult way. But as I said, some things need to change. We can't do the same that we have been doing for a while now and expect the result to change. So we need to change things up, and if we do, I'd give us a chance to do this. And I agree. We need to pump ourselves up again. We need to get ourselves on track again if we want to also, you know, get the pressure on the other two that are still above us in the league.
Yeah. Chief, Thursday night is probably the first game in 3 months where we've had so many players fit and available. I think Bradley is missing. I'm not sure there's really anybody else who's a doubt at the moment. Trent's back, Jota's back, Jones is back, the keeper's back. I think we have a fit Konate. Robertson's starting to look back to his best. Which all sounds very positive, but recent results would suggest that that seems to be some sort of an issue. We've discussed it. But what sort of a team do you expect against Atalanta? Because I feel like, you know, it's got to be Champions League final team. But like, who are those players given fitness and form?
It's difficult because you say we've got a whole squad fit and available, and to all intents and purposes, they're available. But how fit are they? That's the question. So, I mean, ideally, it's obviously Alisson, then Trent, then Konate and Virgil and Robbo. Ideally, if everybody is 100% match fit and ready to go.
I would be surprised if we had that back five for more than five games this season.
Exactly. So, you know, is it now the time just to lock in and say there's seven games left in this season, potentially a few more, if we manage to pull off a minor miracle tonight? So are we just locked in now with the first 11, essentially? Or is there, you know, are there a few more? So ideally that's your back five, or that's my back five anyway. And then, you know, in midfield, you're probably, you know, your strongest midfield is most likely Szoboszlai, obviously McAllister, and one of either Jones or Endo.
Is it right? So here's my quandary with this. I think
who are you playing?
I don't know who I'm playing. I think the queries that I have around this are, has Szoboszlai significantly underwhelmed for probably a number of months? I would suggest that he probably has. I don't think he's been at it for ages, and I know he's had a couple of knocks, and that's certainly not helped him. But I feel like he's operating at about 70%, and it's not working in that midfield with him, I don't think. Jones is obviously only just back from fitness. I wonder, is there a Gomez Trent diddle? I don't know. Based on that,
I don't know. I mean, Joe Gomez has had a great season,
but last few weeks he has been really ropey. He looks like the minutes has taken his toll on him.
Yeah, he looks like he's done, and this could be sort of a night off for him. Personally, I think Szoboszlai has underwhelmed since coming back from his sort of main injury, which he sustained when he was sort of at the peak of his powers, really. But he's also suffered with the lack of continuity behind him. And he's your major sort of ball carrier, essentially, in midfield. He's the one that drives you, you know, gets you up the pitch, essentially. Plus, he's got a threat from distance, and, you know, his set pieces aren't bad. So he's worth keeping in there. You're hoping to play him back into form, and you're hoping to reignite any sort of partnership that was developing with him and Trent, if Trent's starting. And then the front three is interesting because I'm not convinced, even though they're probably the three most potent and best on paper, or certainly the quickest. There are question marks over all three, all of the front four, five, if you will. You know, Gakpo has started every game in the UEFA Cup, Europa League, whatever, and he scored in most of the rounds, I believe. In fact, probably every round except for the first leg of this tie. So, you know, is he getting a start? His form is certainly patchy, although he was probably the sharpest of our front players against Palace. Certainly to begin with. Then obviously Jota can be lethal, but can be anonymous. and it's just coming back as well. Probably needs minutes. Salah been massively underwhelming since being away with Egypt, not for the first time. His season has petered out massively since returning from international duty, for one reason or another. And Diaz, brilliant individually, a real worker, but really fucking frustrating, and doesn't put the ball in the net enough, and doesn't necessarily link well enough with certain other members of the team. And then Darwin, which Dave's done to death. He's not the most reliable of finishers. I think we can.
I've laid off tonight.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't argue with the reality, and that, you know, there's some. I couldn't believe the one he missed against Palace, the one that you referenced earlier, Beryl, where it's just like, what have you even done there? When it seemed easier just to...
That was against Atalanta, I think.
Yeah, it was.
It was early against...
Do you know what? I see Salah do that finish with his left foot all the time, where he just, like, tries to reverse it into the near post and kicks it, like, 5 yards wide. And it was kind of like that, but it was this weird dink. It's almost like I just need to kick the ball away because it's an explosive device.
Maybe he's trying to mimic that Salah finish and he just gets it wrong.
He gets it horribly wrong.
He does, and it looks shite. And it's just like, you didn't need to do that. And that's another thing that I've noticed. And I noticed it against, what was the game? And it was so fucking, it was against Palace. It was Diaz against City. And it's a recurring theme. We're trying, and we constantly try to do the most difficult finish. We're trying to get it on a postage stamp in the top bin, or we're trying to, you know, do Nunez's finish the other day. Instead of just
essentially being Diogo Jota, Jota very rarely sticks it in the corner.
That's true, and I know what you mean, but at the same time, Jota's guilty as well of missing big chances at times.
It's true, but he is, you know, I think if you look at the conversion rates, he's definitely
the most.
Oh, but like he's off the charts. I know he's missed a big portion of the season, but he's off the charts when it comes to conversion rate. Both pure conversion rate and big chances converted.
Particularly this season, he's been immense.
Yeah.
And hopefully you can get him back on fire. But there are question marks over all of them. So who are you starting? Because they are all class, but they've all got their fucking...
They've all got their individual flaws. You're right.
Yeah, flaws.
Yeah. Beryl, what three are you going with if you've to pick the front three?
And what combination? That's sort of how do they get...
I get all the points that Chief is making there, but I think, you know, one of my main criticisms of Gakpo was that he didn't use his physique enough. I think he must listen to this now, this podcast. I'm obviously kidding for, you know, anyone who would take that seriously, but he seems to have bulked up, but he seems to do things differently. And I really thought he came on against Crystal Palace and he was really good. He delivered, you know, most of the chances that we created were coming from his actions on the left wing. So yeah, I would start him on the left wing. And I think we just, you know, we need to stick it to the net. So no doubt for me that Jota and Salah are the other two. If you would expect that speed would be important, then that would be a case for either Diaz or Nunez instead of any of those three. But I don't expect that. I think Atalanta will lean, you know, lean back, and rightly so, because they are 3-0 ahead. So. You know, that's what I would go for. But and the midfield, I honestly don't know. I think I would go with Szoboszlai. Endo needs a rest, I think. And if you play with Trent, then you know, he inverts into the midfield. And I think you could play with McAllister there, and then you could play with Curtis Jones or Elliot. But yeah, Elliot underwhelms if he starts. I don't know what it is with that kid, but yeah. And the rest, I would agree. I think maybe there's a case for Kwanzaa, but okay.
Well, we'll see.
Maybe it's not.
It's a big ask. Do you know what? Maybe just stick Quants up front and see how that goes, because it can't be much worse than the last number of weeks.
I was so fucking frustrated when you know, we were 1-0 down, and we were still playing the, you know, circulating the ball between Konaté and Virgil. And, you know, you don't want to get Konaté on the ball if you are in a hurry. So you just put him, you know, he would be useless in front of goal, but because he never scores from corners, etc. But then stick Virgil up there. Just try something.
Put it in the mixer. Stick up the mixer.
Yeah, it's the last few minutes, right? And you want to just score a goal. At least don't lose. Yeah, that annoyed me.
Yeah. All right, lads. Thanks for joining me. Until next time, up the we've absolutely shat the bed, Reds.